Remember the guy that asked, are you standing on the promises or sitting on the premises? So, trust you're confident in God's provision and care. Let me, if you need a handout this evening, maybe you got yours as you came in. If not, if you'd slip your hand up and this just be a help, I'd encourage you to maybe jot down some notes. It just helps us all to be focused. Probably need Brother Mark to come and make a public service announcement again this week. He did really well last week in encouraging people to move forward, so if the Lord would so burden your heart, maybe that would be a good thing. Just we're kind of a small group, kind of rattling around in here, so if you are so inclined to move up a little closer, then I can make some eye contact. I had a dentist appointment late this afternoon, and about Monday it occurred to me that I wasn't sure what shape I would be in tonight, and I even thought about calling Brother Jeff and asking if maybe he would want to be prepared, but I thought, well, no, it'll be all right. And so I went into the dentist, and my dentist is very sensitive. He does not want people to have pain. So he's, you know, touching my... He says, it's kind of a hard spot to really get this numb. And he's saying, is it numb here yet? And I'm going, no. And so he's putting some more Novocaine in there and some more Novocaine in there. And he says, you know, he says, if I need to, I'll call my partner in. He's the jack of all trades, the master of numb. Okay? But he said, we want to get you numbed up, you know. And so finally, you know, he was satisfied. And so went through, had all this done. And, you know, it's not too bad right now. I feel like my face is kind of fat here. So if I start drooling or something, it's not rabies. You know, it's just the strange effects of Novocaine. I feel really weird, you know. So, but hopefully it won't be too distracting for you, just for me. So we'll go on there. This evening we're going to continue in just this short series that we're doing about becoming fishers of men. And you may remember that those that were here last week, I mentioned that it's often said that the two elements of the Christian life that run most contrary to the flesh are prayer and soul winning and outreach. And so this evening and then several more weeks after this, we'll just spend some time focusing on the matter of our heart to reach out to the lost and equipping us to do that. You know, this will be both exhortational, encouraging, challenging us, and I hope educationally equipping us, helping us to be a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more effective, and just help us if we feel like, you know, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do that, I'm not real comfortable with that. Well, maybe this will just kind of help us both to sense that we need to step out of our comfort zone, and at the same time, just some thoughts in mind that will help us along the way. And so last week we looked at primarily Matthew and Mark's accounts of the calling of the four fishermen, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John. Let me have you turn to Matthew 4, and we're just going to spend a few minutes rehearsing what we talked about last week. It won't be long, but just to kind of get our mind thinking along these lines again. So we spent our time where we saw these fishers of fish being challenged to become fishers of men. Let me read here in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. We're told that Jesus, as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Mark's account says, come ye after me, I will make you to become fishers of men. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And last week we made these six observations about the idea of faithful outreach from Matthew and Mark's accounts. And we said that faithful outreach, or you could say effective outreach, is to be an integral part of a believer's life. And that's every believer's life. Faithful outreach is the result of God's transforming work in a believer's life. It requires submission to the leading of Christ. It develops through a process of growth. It requires purposeful steps of obedience, and it occurs when things of lesser importance get set aside. Okay, and we spent, that's what we spent about 35, 40 minutes on last time, just elaborating on those things. And so if you weren't here and if there's some thoughts there that you want to think on, you know, listen to that online. But that's kind of the challenge we looked at last time. And tonight we're going to look at Luke's account of Jesus calling of these fishermen to fish for men. And Luke gives us a little more detail, kind of the story behind the story, if you will. So if you would turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now, some years ago, I went through a soul-winning seminar that had been developed by Brother Jeff Musgrave, and most of us know Jeff well, and evangelist John Van Gelderen, and many of us know John well. And that seminar was called Netcasters. And I'm of the mind that probably that seminar has been done here once, twice, maybe a few times over the years. Okay, there are various, you know, soul-winning training, outreach-type training. This is one of them. And Jeff and John, in the program that they developed, you know, kind of used this text here, Luke chapter 5, as a framework, both in terms of motivation and as a framework in terms even of methodology, just kind of the approach to things and kind of the framework that puts it all together. And there's this track, which you see out in our track rack, kind of is the one there's a thicker one, a longer one as well, but this is the little bit smaller one that's geared around that particular study. And it's a good track, and I encourage you to use that, as well as others as you reach out to folks. And what we're going to look at tonight is just really some of the things that I still remember, things that I've just sifted through over the years in reading and thinking on this passage. And so our text will be really verses 4 through 11 in Luke chapter 5. And just kind of in sum, here's where we're going. My point for us is this, and I think this is the point that we see from this passage. In the matter of reaching others with the gospel, first of all, we need to allow God to direct us and be sensitive to His leading in that regard. And then we need to trust Him to work through us if we are to be used to win others to Christ as their Savior. So that's just kind of the main thrust of what we're going to look at tonight. So let's read here. I'm going to read beginning in the first verse of chapter 5 down through verse 11. Told that it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and that's just another name for the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were up on the shore. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. We generally refer to him as Peter, and prayed Peter that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So, you know, you picture the crowds just kind of along the natural amphitheater form by the shoreline there. Jesus stepping out away a little bit in the boat and speaking from the boat. Verse 4, now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So let's start tonight with a word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful once again for this passage, not unlike those that we looked at last week, where we see you identifying these four fishermen, these common everyday men, men of the sea, just men of ordinary life. And yet you called on them not only to follow you, but to follow you in this matter of reaching others with the gospel. You promised them that they would catch men, that you would make them be fishers of men, that you'd help them to become fishers of men. Father, I believe that this is your desire for each one of us here tonight who knows you as Savior. As common and ordinary as we may be, as ill-equipped as we may think we are, yet you call us and you promise us that as we follow, we will catch men. As we follow, we will grow to become fishers of men. I pray, Lord, that you would use this passage in our lives tonight, in my life tonight, to challenge us, to prod us a little bit, to stir our hearts to see that which you desire to do in our lives and through our lives, to see those about us that you desire to win to Christ. So I pray, Lord, that you would use this for your glory, and that we would indeed, each of us, step by step and day by day, might it be more said of us that we have become fishers of men. I pray your blessing on this time. Pray that you guide me as I speak, and pray your Spirit to use your word in the lives of these thy people, and that we would grow thereby. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I mentioned, we're going to start text-wise tonight in verse 4, and I'll describe verses 4 through 7 for us under the heading of learning to fish for men. Now let's just kind of recap the setting here. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they had been fishing all night long. That was apparently the best time to catch the fish, at least at this time of year in this location. And apparently they had not caught one single fish. And so they were concluding the night's work and they were seated there along the shoreline, their boats pulled up near shore, and they were washing and mending their nets, putting things away. Maybe they were talking about the ones that got away or planning for their next fishing trip or whatever it may have been. But they were just there kind of wrapping up their long night of fishing. Maybe they were kind of scouting out the weather, trying to anticipate what the next day would bring. And no doubt they were tired after a full night of work, probably looking forward to some well-deserved rest. And along comes Jesus, and he makes a request of Peter. And Peter graciously agrees to let his boat be used as a teaching platform for the Lord Jesus. And so they push out a little bit from the shore, and Jesus teaches. And apparently Peter is with the Lord in the boat, listening to the teaching, and I would suspect that Andrew is as well. Maybe they had some other hired folks who were with them as well. We're not sure, but we know Peter's there, and no doubt Andrew. And you know, these are men who have already a willing interest in the Lord's work. I mean, when the Lord asked, they readily answered. They clearly had some exposure with Him. Upon concluding his message to the crowd that was gathered there along the shore, Jesus shifts his attention to Peter and Andrew's fruitless efforts in fishing the night before. And then he gives them what I'm sure to them was an unexpected and probably a puzzling command. He tells them to go back out and try again to catch some fish. Now we know, as we look at this with the benefit of all the Scripture and a little bit hindsight, that Jesus isn't really interested in fish. I mean, they're going to catch them. But that's not His point. His point isn't to show them that I'm a better fisherman than you, that I can show you how to catch some fish, that I'm pitying you because you don't have any sustenance. Yeah, that's not His point. His point there is to give them kind of a vivid object lesson. And He wants to illustrate for them that He is able to equip them and to direct them to a great catch. And it's a lesson that He knows will help them to become committed to a life of fishing, the one in particular that He's about to call them to. So this is just really the Lord giving them an illustration, an object lesson. I mean, the text lays that out for us. And folks, I think Jesus wants to do the same for us tonight. And so what we need to do is observe the object lesson through the pages of Scripture. Now, we're not sitting there on the boat surrounded in fish. I mean, it won't have the vividness of experience that it did for those men, but it's every bit as true and every bit as apt, and we ought to just kind of plunge ourselves into the setting and think what it was like for those men and learn the same lesson that Jesus had for them, because it's a lesson that He has for all of His disciples. And so Jesus tells us that if we are to learn to fish for men, the first thing we need to do is launch out into the deep. And that's how I've entitled this session, Launching Out into the Deep. But verse 4 here, Jesus says, the Bible says that when Jesus finished teaching, He said unto Simon, and I think for Simon this would have been kind of an out of the blue statement. He wasn't anticipating this. He says, launch out into the deep. I suppose we could also refer to this launching out as you know, going out and finding the fish. Now, humanly speaking, these four men, right? Peter and Andrew and James and John, they probably knew as much about fishing on the Sea of Galilee as anyone alive, except for Jesus. But I mean, anyone with mere mortal insight, they knew it. These men were experts at what they did. They knew the environment. They knew the characteristics of the fish that they were seeking. They knew the weather. They were experienced with the weather patterns. They were aware of seasonal changes, the daily fishing cycles. They knew it. This was their life. It was their life. It was their livelihood. It's what they did. It's what they'd grown up doing. You know, they knew what they were doing. And yet they had gone out the last night, the night before, and they had been unsuccessful. And they probably had some thoughts on why they had been unsuccessful as well. And Jesus says, let's go out again. Let's launch out into the deep. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that they could have offered some really good reasons for not wanting to do that. Okay? And let me suggest to us folks that when the Lord prompts us to launch out and reach out to people with the gospel, we come up with some really good reasons why we don't want to do that. Okay? They could have said, you know, Jesus, you're a carpenter, not a fisherman. I mean, we know fish. You know wood. We know fish. And, you know, you're telling us to go. Now it's daytime. This isn't the best fishing time anyway. I mean, they could have said, you know, this just doesn't make sense. You know, we know this stuff. It doesn't make sense. And folks, I can't tell you how many times I have read in blogs or heard in conversations people say things like, you know what, just going out and knocking on doors, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. We've tried it, you know, and there's other things that work better. It's easy to say that, you know, something doesn't fit with our knowledge and our experience. And then they could have said, you know, we've already tried unsuccessfully. They had given it their best human effort, and the fish just weren't biting. And we can say, you know, I've tried that. I've tried witnessing. I've knocked down a few doors. I've given out some tracts. I've talked to people, and it just doesn't work. You know, at least it doesn't work for me. You know, maybe I'm just not cut out for fishing, but it just doesn't work. But Jesus says, launch out. Maybe they said, you know, the best time for fishing's already passed. You know, apparently night was the best. And at the end of John, where we see kind of a similar thing after Jesus is resurrected and Peter has said, I'm going back fishing. And the other disciples, some of whom weren't even fishermen, said, we'll go with you. They're out there fishing all night. They don't catch anything. There's Jesus. He does it again. He just has this ability to bring the fish into the fold. And we may look at our life circumstances and say, you know, this just isn't a good time. And some of us get together, we go out on Thursday nights, whenever. In the wintertime, I will tell you, I have these thoughts. You know, it's cold, it's dark, it's windy. It is very, very easy to say, you know what, no one's going to open the door anyway. I mean, it's a cold, dark night out. You know, there's Thursday night, Monday night football on, whatever. And people aren't going to want to talk. It's easy to say, this isn't a good time. There's got to be a different time that's better. These men had already started cleaning and packing up. I mean, you know, they were already involved in some other normal matter of routines. And we say, well, I have other things that I need to do right now. Maybe there's another time. Maybe there's a better time. And frankly, they were tired. In verse 5, Peter says, Lord, we have toiled all night long. And that word toil has the idea of exhausting labor. And beyond that, after their night of work was done, they had stopped to listen to the Lord preach. And they'd even, you know, helped get the boat out to sea. I mean, they were invested in all this. They had contributed some to the Lord's work that day already. They could have said, you know what, Lord, if you really want to go fishing, there's other people that have boats. Let them do it. I've done enough already. And, you know, I see this in my life and in the lives of some of us who have perhaps been, you know, involved in the work of the Lord for a long time. Sometimes you just feel like, you know, I've done my part. Maybe it's time for somebody else. And that's the flesh. But they could easily have said that. We can easily say that. We can say, I'm too tired. I'm already teaching a Sunday school class. I'm already doing this. You know, let somebody else do the witnessing part of it. And you know, folks, we look at all those reasons and we understand them for exactly what they are. They are excuses. And they're good excuses. You know, they're easily rationalized excuses. But I am thankful that these men, as much as they may have thought about offering those excuses when the Lord said, launch out, they launched out. Maybe reluctantly, maybe just shaking their heads going, oh, you know, what does Peter say? He says, nevertheless, at thy word. I think he's probably saying, Lord, we've been at this all night. I mean, the fish, they just are not biting. Nevertheless, you've asked, oh, okay, all right, we'll do it. And I suspect, whether he sounded that way or not, that certainly was what was going on up here, you know, as he responded. But thankfully, they responded. And they took the boat out and they launched out into the deep. Because you see, folks, God does things differently than we might. His ways are better than ours. His ways don't always make sense to us. They certainly aren't always convenient to us. But you know what? When the Lord says launch out, the best thing we can do is launch out, is do what He's asked us to do. I mentioned that we might refer to this as finding the fish, right? The first necessary step, if you're going to catch some fish, is to get out where the fish are. If we go out in the parking lot and start casting our lines, we're not going to catch many fish. Okay? You got to go where the fish are. And it takes some purposed effort. And the fish don't just show up and jump into your boat on the shore, right? You got to go get them. And you know, the disciples, they didn't have an 18-foot Glastron with a foot-operated trolling motor and a little outboard to get where they needed to go. I mean, for them to launch out meant some work. And they had to get things ready. They had to do some rowing. If they were going to go out a ways, we're not sure exactly how far they went. If there were some winds, they were going to use sails. They had to deal with the sails. There was some preparation perhaps involved. We don't know what all that might be, but Jesus said, launch out. That's the first directive. And they launched. You know, folks, the Lord would have us reach out to the lost. And that might involve a little bit of purposed effort. That might involve a little bit of sacrifice. That might involve a little bit of preparation. That might mean making some time, finding some time, adjusting some things. But, you know, the Lord wants us to get out and engage with people where they are, to launch out into the deep. That's the deep for us, being around people who need to hear the gospel. I remember back when my family and I, we were moving from South Carolina up to Wisconsin. And I can't remember if you were with me or did I do that house hunting trip on my own. So I'm on this house hunting trip. And there's a couple of possibilities. And one of these possibilities is a little bit out in the country. And the back of the property backs up to a horse pasture. I mean, I'm walking into this backyard and there's the horses standing right there on the other side of the fence. Now, my wife grew up on a farm. This is a very, very appealing place. You know, it's appealing to me because, you know, it's a nice place, it's a peaceful place, whatever. It's appealing to me as a husband because it's not often you have opportunities to do something that your wife is really, really, really going to appreciate. You know, and so we are talking about this by phone, I guess it must have been, and of course, this sounds really appealing to her. And she talked to a dear lady, friend of our families, and a lady that has always been a challenge and kind of a mentor to my wife and an encouragement to her and a prayer partner with her. And this older lady says to my wife something along these lines. She says, well, Becky, horses don't have eternal souls. People do. Neighbors do. You know, and there's a need for us to immerse ourselves where the fish are. And that takes all kinds of different forms, okay? You can apply that in a zillion different ways, but the fact is, God's desire for us, who are believers, who know Jesus as Savior, is that we would get among people and share the gospel with them. We would launch out into the deep. You know, I talked last week about the, you know, if you're traveling by airplane, and those occasions when my inclination is to hope, against all hope, that I might have a seat where there's nobody sitting around me so it'll be quiet and so I can snooze, maybe kind of sprawl out a little bit. And, you know, that's not right thinking. Nowadays, you don't have to worry about it, right? The seats are all full anyway. But, you know, I mean, we ought to view it as here's an opportunity. I'm going to have a person who is compelled to sit next to me for the next 3.5 hours. They, you know, if, especially if the plane is full, they can't go somewhere else. Now, you know, we don't want to wear them out. We don't want to abuse their generosity of spirit. I'm not saying that. But surely, surely, if you're sitting next to somebody for 3.5 hours, at some point along the way, there will be an opportunity to at least attempt to open a conversation. You know, and the Lord will take it from there. And, you know, whatever it unfolds to become or closes down to not become, we can leave that in the Lord's hands. But we ought to have that desire to be among people who need to hear, launching out into the deep with a desire to share the gospel with them. You know, the disciples had been out in the sea in their earlier attempt, but they hadn't found any of the fish. Now, let me ask you to think about this, okay? How do fishermen find fish today? They use sonar. They use, obviously, they use experience. You know, they're fish finders of this, you know, sophisticated sonar. They can tell where the fish are. You know, but yet, with all their experience, with all their specialized equipment and lures, with all the advantages that they have, a lot of times fishermen still come home with nothing. That's what the disciples did. You know, they had the best experience anybody could have. They came home with nothing. And so how did they end up finding the fish? Jesus showed them where they were. He told them where to cast their nets. And you know, folks, what we need to do is be out among people. And when the Lord prompts us, okay, cast the net, you know, that's the time to, you know, take out the trap. That's the time to say something. You know, that's the time when you're sitting there, and, you know, that person is there, and you may not want to, but, you know, you can tell the Lord is urging you to say, you know what, this is the Lord saying, there's the fish. They're sitting right there. Go ahead and reach out to them. Sometimes we call those divine appointments. You know, folks, we need to be launching out, looking for fish, but then trusting the Lord to tell us there they are, to lead us to where the fish are, if we want to just continue with that metaphor. You know, and let's not approach this from the standpoint of human logic or psychology. We tend to size people up, and it's always bad, okay? You know, I mean, I'm not saying we're always wrong, but I mean, it's never helpful to try and size somebody up. I wonder if they'll listen or not. I wonder if they'll, you know, if the Lord prompts us, we do it. We do it. That's what we ought to do. We need to be ready to give the gospel to any and everyone and just ask the Lord to guide and direct. When I took that soul-winning seminar from John and Jeff, as I recall, they described this idea of launching out as getting to the gospel. You know, and in the realm of methodology, we'll touch on that some more next week. But for the sake of introduction, let me say this. You know, as we engage people in conversation, we want to be moving toward an opportunity to discuss spiritual things and if they'll allow us ultimately to get to the point of talking with them about the gospel. And maybe that starts by just handing a tract. My wife will say, as she hands out a tract, she usually says something of like, this is something that has changed my life. You know, and I'd appreciate it if maybe you'd read it. And, you know, sometimes that's the extent of the opportunity. Sometimes there's greater opportunity. But, you know, we can use just the giving of a tract. You know, just say, here's something that you might read that maybe would be helpful to you. Whatever it might be. But, you know, there's a way to just begin to move a conversation along in that direction by giving a tract. You know, inviting someone to church. And maybe they'll say, oh, well, where do you go to church? Or what's your church like? You know, what an open door. But, you know, just little things to try and move in that direction. And I think I've told you before about my friend Heiner, who was the epitome of confrontational evangelism. You know, and his method was more, you know, if you died tonight, do you know for sure that you wouldn't go to hell? You know, first words out of his mouth to somebody. And it worked for him because the Lord led him to fish who that's what they needed. They needed somebody to go, whoa, you know, and they, well, I don't know, I haven't thought about it. You know, I mean, so who knows what will open the door? I don't advocate that approach, okay, personally. All right. But you know what? That's who he was. That's who the Lord made him to be. The Lord gave him boldness that I can only dream about. And you know, the Lord used him to win person after person after person to Christ. Sometimes it's a gentler approach. Sometimes it's subtle things. But the thing is, we ought to just have that desire. You know, we get among the people and we're wanting to move in that direction towards an opportunity, however the Lord allows, to have a conversation with them about spiritual things. There's lots of different ways. We'll spend a little bit of time on that. So first we need to launch out into the deep, and then secondly, Jesus tells them to let down their nets. Okay, that's the second command in verse 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Okay, when Jeff and John teach that seminar, they used to call that giving the gospel. Now when I my wife and I went on a trip to Israel, one of the standard things that you do when you go to Israel is you go on the Sea of Galilee boat ride. And they have these boats that really bear no resemblance to the ancient fishing boats. But, you know, they've got sails, and they've tried to make them look a little bit rustic, so it gives you some sense of that flavor. But they're designed to hold some passengers, you know. They've got nice deck space. And so we are cruising a little bit on the Sea of Galilee and kind of taking in some of the sights. But you know, folks, there's a difference between riding a boat and seeing the sights and fishing. Okay? We weren't fishing. We were just kind of riding along. We launched out, but we didn't let down the nets. Well, with the one exception that they had a little demonstration casting net, and the guy cast it out there, and you know, just for interest's sake, and he wasn't really trying to catch fish. Okay? So, yeah, we need to get out among the people. We need to launch out into the deep, but you know, then we got to let down the net. I mean, just being among lost people and being burdened for them, I mean, then we need that opportunity then to try to reach out. And that's why we're trying to get to that point where we can give them the gospel. The Lord didn't ask the disciples to take him on a boat ride and watch the fish. His intention in taking them out there was that they would catch fish. Okay? I don't know this, but I suspect that when the disciples let down the nets, you know, they had no inkling that there were fish there. You know, they probably didn't see any. It wasn't like the fish were just jumping around the surface. I mean, the Lord said, let down your nets. You'll take it a catch. Let down your nets. And you know, that's Peter's answer. I mentioned that to you already in verse 5 where he says, at thy word. You know, we've tried. He clearly thinks this isn't going to work. But nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, we will let down the nets. And folks, whether we think it's going to work or not, whether we think this person's going to listen or not, whether we think they're going to be interested or not, when the Lord prompts us and says, let down the net, then we need to let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. In this outreach seminar, one of the things that they encourage you to do, this is another thing that Brother Dave Barba always used to encourage people to do, is ask to come in. You know, you knock on somebody's door, and really, before you even really get very far into the conversation, you ask if you can come in. Now, I will tell you, okay, that was then, and that is to this day, really awkward for me. You know, that just, I mean, I have a lot of years of upbringing that would kind of make me think that that's a little bit presumptuous. But, you know, I was doing this seminar, so I was determined to, okay, I'm going to give this a go. You know, I'm going to ask to come in. I'll be, you know, but I'm going to ask to come in. So we come to this house. My partner and I don't remember who my partner was. We come to the house, stand there. It's a dark street, not a street light on this street. It's about dusk. You know, it's not the ritziest area, shall we say. And I knock on the door, and the door opens, and here's this guy. And he is one big guy. And to make matters worse, this particular house has two steps up to the door. Those steps are about this high. I'm standing on the ground, so the threshold is about here, and he's a big guy. And I'm looking up, and he doesn't look too happy. Looks like he's had a long, hard day. And in my reading of his mind, I'm thinking, and he's not too happy to see me. You know? So I'm standing there, getting ready to ask if we can come in. And all kinds of things are running through my mind, you know. I mean, maybe I could say, you know what, I think we have the wrong address, you know. Or I could say, you know, let me give you something to read. You can maybe read it on your own after I'm gone. You know, I mean, you know, we look at things and we draw conclusions. But, you know, by the grace of God, I said, you know, could we come in and, you know, we're here from such and such a church. Could we maybe come in and talk to you? And the guy says, sure. I was one surprise guy. Okay? But you know what? We get in this idea of thinking that we can measure people. And you know, when the Lord says, launch out and let down the net, we just need to do what He asks. And it doesn't always work that way. You know, sometimes you say, can we come in? And they look at you, what? Are you crazy? You know, but the point is we need to be responsive to what the Lord prompts us to do with the expectation that, you know, there may be some fish who get away, but there's a lot who will be caught. And if we don't launch out, and if we don't let down the nets, then guess how many get caught? None. So rather than thinking about, well, this isn't going to work, let's think about how much it's not going to work if we don't do a thing. If we never reach out, we can be pretty sure that we're never going to reach somebody with the gospel. So we need to be launching out, and we need to be letting down the nets. And, you know, we'll be amazed to see what the Lord will do. So He tells them, launch out into the deep, let down your nets, and He tells them to look for a catch. Let down your nets for a draught. Now that word, you know, we puzzle over the pronunciation of the Old English word. I think it was originally draught, though perhaps it was draft. I don't know. But in any event, the word means a drawing in. And the idea here is, let down your net so that you can draw it back in. But you know, that's the kind of what the English says, but that English word is translating a Greek word that it refers to the prey that you take when hunting. So when he says, let down your nets for a drawing in, what he's really saying is, let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets to catch some fish so that you can haul in a load of fish. That's what the Lord tells them. He says, launch out in the deep. Let down your nets with the expectation that there is going to be a catch. And so the fishermen did that. They let down the net, whether they could see any fish or not, and they drew it back in. Now, folks, if you're going to catch fish, you have to let down the net, but you have to complete the process by pulling it back in to see if you've enclosed the fish. Now, when this fellow, when we were riding on that boat in the Sea of Galilee, they had, you know, a casting net, and it's kind of a circular net, and there's weights around the perimeter, and there's some lines that attach to that perimeter, and they come together in the middle, and they come back through. And they, you know, they get very skilled at holding the net and getting it to cast out there and spread itself out so it covers as much surface of the water as possible. And then the weights fall and it sinks down. And there's fish under there. And the fish are now caught under the net. And then as you pull the rope in, it pulls the edges of the net back in. It encloses the fish and they haul it back in. Okay? So you could cast the net, but when you catch the fish, is bring it back in. Okay? So you got to both lower the net and bring it back in with the expectation, that drawing in with the expectation of a draft. And for some of us, maybe for many of us, one of the more difficult things in witnessing is to get to that point of really challenging and encouraging folks to make a decision to trust in Christ. I mean, we may do okay on at least sharing the truths of the gospel, but we get a little awkward about, you know, giving them an invitation, so to speak. But, you know, if you don't draw in the net, if you don't try to kind of help people, nudge them a little bit in that direction, you know, then it's kind of like a net just floundering in the water there, and it never ultimately encloses the fish. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but let me just say, it's not pushy or impolite. If someone has allowed you to share the gospel with them, you know, and I would always encourage you to say, Can I share something with you? Can I tell you how I came to know the Lord? Ask them. And if they say yes, you know, they've kind of now given you permission to monopolize the conversation for a few minutes, right? They've said, okay, I'll hear, you know, I'll listen to what you have to say. And one of my former pastors used to say things like, you know, I can do this in 5 minutes or 55 minutes. And if they say, oh, 5 minutes would be good, okay, then he would be very succinct. If they say, well, I've got some time, let's sit down, then he'd be more elaborate. But, you know, at that point, the person has kind of said, I'm willing to listen to what you want to share. And if you have shared the gospel with someone who has said, I'm willing to listen, it is neither pushy nor impolite nor rude after you finish that to say, you know, do you see your need? Would you like to ask Christ to be your Savior right now? That's not an inappropriate thing. That's not being the Holy Spirit. That's just helping them see their own need. You know, they have been open to listen. Now let's help them see their need and that there's a need for them to respond. You know, so there's that need for us to bring the net back in. And as uncomfortable as that may be, just given our personalities and things, nonetheless, that's part of what the Lord would have us to do, to the extent that the door is open to do that with someone. And so that's part of the idea of drawing in the net, and you know, methodology-wise that is. But I think, you know, the point here really that we ought to take away from our Lord's calling on them to let down their net for a draught, okay, expecting a catch, is that we need to do just that. We need to expect that God is going to use His Word in people's lives. That we don't go out there and say, okay, fine, I'm going to do this because I know it's right. I'm going to do this because I know I should. I'm going to do this because somebody asked me to. I'm going to do this because I'm the pastor and it's expected of me, whatever. We can have all these reasons why we dutifully do it. But you know what the Lord would have us to do is go out there and share the gospel, expecting that it's going to make a difference in people's lives. That it is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes. That it is transforming. That it is life-changing. That it won't return empty and void. All those things that we know the Bible says about the gospel, about the Word of God, we need to believe that. And you know, and share the gospel, thinking, you know what, God, I think you're going to use this in this person's life. Now, we may see the fruit of that in different ways and at different times, but the fact is we need to have an expectation that when we cast the net and when we draw it back in, that it's going to come back with a catch. Okay? Jesus left them no doubt that if you cast the net and draw it in, there'll be a catch. You know, and again, that's not in a formulaic way, but in a principle way. If we are doing that as a matter of our lives, we are going to see people brought in. We're going to see people who hear the gospel, and God moves in their heart, and they turn to Christ in saving faith, and they are saved. The disciples caught fish not because they were good fishermen. We already saw how they did when they were relying on their fishing skills. Not very well. They caught fish because of the Lord's guidance and the Lord's enabling. He told them where to go. He told them when to go. He told them when to cast the net. And they simply did what He prompted them to do. And whether they fully, who knows what they fully expected, but you know, when you do what God asks you to do, you can expect that He's going to work. We need to be trusting in the Lord's guidance and His enabling. And I think I've said this probably a multitude of times before. But, you know, it ought to be for us kind of a freeing experience to realize that in witnessing, it's not about my eloquence. It's not about my memory. It's not about my skilled argumentation. It's not about, you know, my ability to reason. It's none of those things. It's just simply presenting the simple truths of the gospel and letting God use it as He sees fit. And letting that person to respond to it in their conscience before the Lord. And, you know, it's not a matter of I'm good at this, or I'm not good at this, or I'm comfortable with this, or I'm not. No, that's not the point. We're just there to throw the net out. The Lord brings in the fish. You know, we just do what He asks us to do, and He is the one who brings the increase. We're all familiar with that passage that says that, you know, Apollos, I can't remember how does Paul say that, but one waters, one sows the seed, one waters, God brings the increase. And you know, it's just about what God will do. He uses human instrumentality, but that's not the key to it. Willing servants, yes, but it's God's working that brings folks in. Had they refused to get in the boat, had they refused to cast the net, they'd have caught nothing. But when they did what the Lord prompted them to, He brings in the catch. Okay, so we just, you know, this idea of learning to fish for men. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Look for a catch. Expect that God is going to use that in lives. And one more point, we're nearly done here, is just this idea of living to fish for men. We see this in the latter several verses of this text. Notice Peter's response in verse 8. We're told that he fell down at Jesus' knees. Have you ever wondered why that says his knees and not his feet? I think it's because Jesus was knee-deep in fish, okay? And so Peter just falls down on those fish. There he is at the Lord's knees. You know, that's not salient to the point, but the fact is, Jesus did amazing things. And Peter recognized it, and he was humbled by it. And he was just like, whoa, you know, we fished all night, we got nothing. We did what the Lord said, look at these fish. You know, when we go out and the Lord gives us some sense of fruitfulness. Whether that's somebody who makes a profession of faith, they trust the Lord, whether it's somebody who you can tell God's working in their heart and they, you know, the opportunity to share the gospel has stirred them. The point isn't we come back and say, "Woo! I am a great soul winner." You know? No. We say, "Woohoo! I serve a great God! And He is at work." And you know, I bow down at His knees and say, "Lord, You brought in a lot of fish. Keep bringing them in." You know? And I'm just excited if I can be here in the boat to watch and see what You're going to do. And as we begin to experience the reality that God can use us, we might fumble around with the words. We might be scared to death. We might have no clue how to give an answer on a particular question that comes up. We may have the sense that this person isn't even listening. But you know what? All those things don't matter because it's what God is going to do that counts. And when He gives us that opportunity then to see Him at work in somebody's life, and we realize, you know what? I had the privilege of just having some little dinky part in that. You know, I had the privilege of being there to see what God is doing. What that ought to do is stir in our hearts a desire to live to catch men. You know, we as we learn, we come to that point of life. And that's what Jesus wanted to teach these disciples. He wanted to give them a taste. You know, He wanted to say, you know what? If you will just follow my leading, if you will just be obedient to what I ask of you, you know, you don't have to worry about fish anymore. I'll take care of that. I'll meet those needs. I will be at work. I'm just looking for you to be willing. I'm looking for you to follow me and not only fish for fish, but fish for men. And thankfully, these men were so struck. That's why I say this is kind of the story behind the story. Sometimes we have this impression of, you know, that they're sitting there on the ground and Jesus just kind of walks on by and says, "Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me." You know, and they do, okay? But the fact is, they had been out there fishing with Him. And they had experienced what it was like to be in the presence of Jesus when He does amazing things. And to see that they could even have a part in those amazing things when clearly it had been proven that it wasn't because of them. And there was then a burden in their heart to, you know what? This poses an exciting life. This is an amazing thing. I want to be a part of it. And you know, folks, if we never launch out, if we never let down the nets, if we never look for a catch, we will never experience that excitement of seeing God work in our lives and bring people to Himself. But as we are obedient and willing to do that, to launch out, to let down, to look for a catch, we will see God at work and it will stir us and excite us and embolden us because we will see that, you know what? What God has said, He'll do. He is at work. He can use me, not because I'm worth using, but because He can use anyone who is simply willing to be a part of it. And that's, you know, as I look through my life, you know, there are times when I'm excited and there are times when I'm utterly unexcited, you know, about what God is doing. But, you know, when we go out and we see God working in somebody's life, that's the times when you get excited. You know, when you say, "This is what I want to live for. This is what I want to give my life to." There's the saying about people who fish to live and people who live to fish, right? In the context of literal, you know, water fishing. And the point is, some people do it because they have to. They fish to live. That's their livelihood. But some people live to fish. It's their passion. It's their love. It's what excites them. It's what's fun to them, so to speak. And Jesus wants to move us from reaching out with the gospel because of a necessity or an obligation or because we should or we have to or we ought to a point of, what a privilege. What an opportunity. What an occasion here to let God work. And we ought to live to fish and not just fish to live, so to speak. And the disciples did that. They forsook all. And they followed Him, verse 11 tells us. And you know that guy Peter, all of his issues and all of his ups and downs, he was used to cast a net that caught something like 3,000 guys in one cast. Okay, pretty big net. You know, about 50 days after the Lord had left them. You know, he's out there. He casts that net, and all these people are brought in. And it's not because Peter had the finest, well, he did have the finest theological training. He got it from the lips of Jesus. But I mean, it wasn't that he was a groomed rabbinic scholar. It wasn't because he was a refined, cultured, well-spoken orator. It wasn't because he was wealthy. It was a guy who had been with Jesus and was willing to just speak for Jesus and let the Lord do amazing things with him. And, you know, he would do the same for us. It may not be 3,000. But, you know, it's when you see people who are absolutely committed to reaching people with the gospel, it's amazing how many people they reach. It is amazing. And when that becomes that you are living the fish, it's amazing how the Lord can use that in people's lives. You know, a willing, sold out, unapologetic, unashamed servant. God can use that. I think that's his desire for you, his desire for me, is that we would be becoming fishers of men, growing in that way, getting to that point where we want to live to see people won to the Lord. Let me just conclude with a kind of a practical challenge. Some of you perhaps already hand out many, many tracts. Some of you perhaps used to hand out lots of tracts, but don't so much anymore. Some may be on occasion. Some may be not at all or not in a long time. And I am a believer in, you know, small steps lead to victory. Okay? So don't tell yourself, I'm going to go out and give, you know, I'm motivated, I'm going to go out and give 100 tracts this week, okay? If you do that, praise the Lord, God bless you, okay? But, you know, how about we just say, if you've not given out a tract in a while, I am going to purpose, by God's grace, to give out at least one tract this week. You know, if I'm doing it maybe one a week, okay, I'm going to purpose, by God's grace, at least two this week, but just pick some small step. And say, Lord, surely with your help, I can take that one small step. And ask God to help you. And pick up some tracts on your way out so you've got what you need. You know, and then as you're walking along, look at the fish around you and say, Lord, give me the boldness here to reach out to one of these folks. Maybe it leads to a conversation, maybe it doesn't, but let's just take small steps. Let's move in that direction. And see what the Lord might do. God wants us launching out into the deep. He wants us letting down the net. He wants us drawing it in. He wants us to expect a catch. And He wants that to be a part of the fabric of our lives. Just become who we are. A person who that's part of what we are about day by day by day. So, you know, my burden for myself and my burden for all of you is that we begin to take some more concerted steps of growth along those lines. Let's close with prayer.